Amen. I shared with you last week that we live in a time, in a world, that pressures Christians to conform to this world. I share with you that culture should never replace your stated Christian faith. However, culture will attempt to do that. Because the power brokers of this society have one aim. That is to do what is right in their own imaginations. But the word of God is clear, Sister Edwards, that there is a way that seemeth right, but in the end, it is in fact the ways of death. God in the flesh did not come to condemn man, but to save man, to save him from his wicked ways. There is absolutely none, Nebuchadnezzar included, righteous. No, not one. There are those that have power, but they are not righteous. There are folk that have influence and money, but they are not righteous. How do we then survive in a society where the norm is to do that which is wrong, and the abnormal is to do that which is right? Well, you have to stand for right no matter what. It is very fitting on this Martin Luther King's weekend that we quote him, and he simply said, it's always a good time, it's always the right time to do right. Amen. You can always do right. But even a better person to quote is that of Liz O'Kendall. It does not matter whether the whole world is against you and you are right, you still stand. It does not matter if everybody who is doing wrong thinks you're wrong, you still do right. And that wasn't a verbatim, but that was essentially, because she said it more like right is right if nobody does it, and wrong is wrong if everybody does it. In other words, you should not conform to this world, but you need to be transformed. Paul tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. First of all, we got to have a mind to renew. You have to have something in there, Brother Hardin. These Hebrew boys that we're going to talk about today, we mentioned them very casually last week, because last week we talked about the four, and primarily their appetite for God's meal as opposed to the king's meat. And in that, we found out that their faith was in fact sincere, because they trusted God more than themselves. They trusted God more than the waiters or the cooks of the king. And God demonstrated to the world that that he could take care of his own and that they would be healthy. Well, this week, as you recall, there were three boys with him, known to us as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three of Israel's finest, very smart, very well-trained, articulate, good-looking, handsome in every way. One thing about the four of them, including Daniel, was that they were schooled in the Word of God. And that should be a lesson for all of us in itself, is that it does not matter how much money you give your children, how much clothes, cash, and cars that you give them, but you ought to give them a lesson in the Word of God. You ought to train them up in the Word of God, because we know that when they get older, they will not depart from it. Over in Exodus chapter 20, one of the first five of the 10 have to do with God, man's relationship with God. And it says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. You will not do it. Now that is the word. You may not like it. You may not care for it. You can't say, well, why can't I have a little bit of this and a little bit of that? The word says, you shall have no god, other gods before him, the one triune God. You should not make any graven images and then worship them as gods. These boys have been taught that. And even though the nation has now been judged in what will turn out to be some 70 years of Babylonian captivity, these boys are there and they are still honoring God. I saw it last week when I said we won't eat your diet. This week, a little bit more extreme, because the world is going to put pressure on you to compromise. Now, we don't see it in the printed text for our lesson today, but you got to have it, because you got to know why Nebuchadnezzar, because if you don't read the context, you don't know why Nebuchadnezzar is so mad. The issue is, Nebuchadnezzar has built a 90-foot statue, and he says that in a special ceremony, when you hear the trump, when the psaltery, when the harps are playing, I want every knee to B-O-W, bow. You will bow. So they did it. Statue is erected, the trumpets sound, and people bow. Save three that we know of. But Daniel is talking about these three. Don't know how Daniel knows. Some even suspect that Daniel was not even in the audience. Because what was he doing? And why was he not singled out? I mean, he wouldn't eat the food. You would think that he certainly would not disobey the ordinance not to have any gods before God. Speculation, but it's not pertinent. They think he may have been not even been in the audience, that he was off conducting the affairs of Nebuchadnezzar, because he was a high official by this time. However, these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there. And guess what? They did not bow. And you know what's interesting? When people find out that you're not a conformist to their clannish, climby, old crazy whims and ways, they'll rat you out in a minute. They ain't your friend. They're your friend till you defy the norm. And the norm is as they describe it. They ran to the king. Now you got to understand, I shared with you last week, Nebuchadnezzar was not somebody to be trifled with. He was what we call a smart fool. In other words, a smart devil. And a smart devil is simply one who may have as much as a PhD, but no G-O-D, so he's just a smart devil. He was smart. He was an architect. He was a fierce warrior. And you didn't run stuff past him. He had made a decree that when the trump sounds, you will bow. The question, before we even get into the lesson this morning, how are you personally today being pressured to bow? Amen. Hope you thought about it this week as you read this lesson, because there's certainly those pressures out there. The Word of God says one thing, you're being pressured to do something else. You know, whether you're a wife, a husband, a student, a fellow worker, there are pressures out there to do that which the Word of God strictly forbids. Okay? And so how do you relate to them? These three boys were courageous. They demonstrated courageous faith. And you know how I know? The ratters, the haters, the tattletellers, they went boogity-boogity to the king. Oh, king, when the trumpet sounded, when the harps were playing, there's them three boys there, they did not bow. I want to expose these people for what they are right now. They're liars, cheaters. If they had said, added one thing to that statement, I would not have called them that. If they'd have said, we were just checking to see who would bow, so we didn't bow either, but we were looking to see who didn't bow. Because how do they know they didn't bow if they were bowing? World's got no integrity. This culture has no integrity. They just want to pressure you to conform. And so they went and they told the king. They did not bow. You got to understand one thing, though. After last week, these boys had favor with the king. And it's good to have favor with a king. But it's better to have favor with the king. Because you know what the difference is? You're going to see here in a few minutes. Favor with a king is momentary. One minute you can be in favor with him, the next minute you'll be on the outside. But favor with the king is everlasting. Because favor with the king says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Check it out. The king, because he likes these boys. Hey, the other day, during the ceremony, I'm told that you three didn't bow. King, you got that right. You heard right. That is a truthful statement. We did not bow. And I can imagine the king saying, pourquoi? And they said, because the word of God is clear. Our God does not permit us to give homage to all these little G-O-Ds that you got. And even though that statue is 90 foot tall, our God is much bigger than 90 foot tall. We will not bow. Could I change your mind? I could imagine it went just like this, because you got to understand, they are talking to Nebuchadnezzar, warrior, smart guy, but a spiritual thug. He said, what can I do to change your mind? Can't change my mind. What about you, Shadrach? Can't change my mind. Abednego? What about it? We will not bow. He said, let me tell you what, I'm going to give you another chance. And if you don't bow, I'm going to heat you up. I'm going to light you up, Doc. That brings us to this. Verse 19 says what? Oh, by the way, before you read 19, they just told the king, the sovereign king of the Babylonian Empire, I will not heed your command. There is no higher law, there is no higher authority than Nebuchadnezzar. You know, you don't run down to Parliament. You don't run over to the Supreme Court justice to try and reverse his decision. He said, I'm going to light you up if you don't bow. That was courageous, folk. You know why it was courageous? Because first of all, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing it when you are totally scared to death. Doing what's right, doing what needs to be done, and knowing that you are afraid. See, because if you're not afraid, that's not courage. How many of y'all scared of babies? Don't take no courage to talk back to a baby. You're not afraid of them. But Nebuchadnezzar, one who holds your life in the palm of his hand, at one word, you can be gone. You won't exist. You can cancel Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. You won't make any of those events at church. Verse 19. Verses 19 through 23 tell us the consequences of being bold in your faith, being courageous in your faith. Don't think you can run out there being bold, saying any and everything, and there won't be any consequence. Don't just think the world is going to say, okay. This boy Nebuchadnezzar is mad. Oh, he is some kind of, y'all don't understand. The words here in the English language don't adequately describe how mad this boy. This boy was so mad, he was irrational. How many of y'all saw that show 20 years ago? It had to be over 20, maybe 30 years. Network. Nobody but me. Harris. Oh, I know y'all fooling. They saw it. They saw it. Network was something about television network, but the predominant scene in it was this guy. He stood up, I mean, all disheveled, looking wild, and it says, I'm mad as hell, and I ain't taking it no more. That was Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't get that off the writer's script. They got that straight out of the Bible. His facial features changed, is what that verse says. He is so mad. He is irate. He's beside himself. And he ain't going to take this no more. He is mad. He's red hot mad. And when you're red hot mad, you do crazy stuff. He wasn't even thinking. And that's why you can't give any and everybody power, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let nobody have power over your life that ain't rational. Because when you give people power that are irrational, they'll do irrational things to you. Y'all listen to it. He said, let me tell you one thing. I don't want the furnace just heated. I want it heated hot, hot. I want it be heated hell hot. Because these three jokers are going straight to hell today. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Because verse 20 says, and he commanded the most mightiest men, take the best men I got. When the world, see, the consequences of you defying the world will sacrifice everything. They took the best. They took the elite, Navy SEALs, 82nd Airborne. They took those kind of guys and take these three guys down to a furnace, hotter than hot, and you throw them in there. That's exactly what it said. You take them and you cast them into that fiery furnace. Then these men were bound. Y'all read it. Wow. This is a consequence. See, so when you run off your mouth at the job, expect that there will be some severe consequences. A little tap on the hand now, We've seen in recent days that that's not it. People are losing their lives, their livelihoods, because they will not conform to the world. Trust me. Ask some folk. Aren't they losing? There's some places you don't talk certain kinds of talk in the workplace now, because you don't have the right to do that. And claiming the name of Jesus in the workplace can get you in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
There are some consequences. There are some severe consequences. Here, the three Hebrew boys, they were bound, they were tied up. Read verse 21. Everything that they had on, Nebuchadnezzar said, don't take it off, because you'll need it in hell. Don't take your shoes. Don't take your socks. No, 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 no. Nothing that would possibly make you cooler. Y'all gonna burn. And what have they done? All they done is not bow. You see, a lot of things that the world asks you to do, it's a simple compromise. You could say, oh, that's silly. Then bow. I know who I am, so I'll just go on and bow. I'll participate. And when they record the number of people that were at the rally, your name is there. That's what you stand for. I mean, are we going to stand for God's word, or we're going to stand for man's word? And these boys says, we're going to stand for God's word. And the consequence is, you're going straight to a fiery furnace. That there's a lesson in the fire, though. The one lesson is that it takes a lot of bravery to get in the fire. Because normally, if you ain't doing nothing, if you ain't protesting nobody, if you're not going against the illegitimacy of some of the stuff that's going on in the world today, you're just conforming. You ain't got no problem. J. Petty Sands said it like this. A kite finds its greatest heights when there's a contrary wind. You don't get nowhere with a kite, flying a kite, when there's no wind. Nothing blowing against it. These boys, they said, bound them up, throw them in the furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent. Did y'all hear this?
Urgent.
What's so urgent about three men who just didn't bow? They ain't murdered nobody. They ain't killed nobody. They ain't run off with the king's harem. They ain't stole his money. What's so urgent? You're not conforming. And see, when the world gets tired of you, when the world gets fed up with you, they will get mad with you. And they will do just like the network star who says, we're mad as hell, and we ain't taking this no more. Oh, y'all sitting here and say, well, I can't. He's United. I can't imagine anybody being thrown into the furnace right now. There ain't nobody being pressured to do stuff. Are you sure? See, because nobody's going to ask you to bow. Although, if you're in certain, governmental positions, people are asking you now how loyal you are. Loyal to a man? Loyal to a woman? What? Even God doesn't ask you to be loyal. God asked you to submit and obey. Men ask you to be loyal. Take loyalty oaths. And if you don't do it, you'll be squeezed out. Your career can come to an end quick. You know, you 49 thinking you're going to retire when you 65 and you are retiring? Who they fooling? That's firing. That ain't retiring. But I digress. It's me. I know it's me. I know it's me. Got too much time on my hand, you know, reading too much. It's got to be me. Let me show you something. Because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, let me tell you something. I would have been in the fire, too. Because if I'm going to burn up, you're going to have to throw me in that fire. I am not going to willingly run up. Wait a minute. 7 times 7? Where are the smart men's, bud, that said, wait a minute, we got that thing hot. Who's going to take them people up there? The king said, you're going to take them care of. Oh, king, you did the commanding. I think you need to take them up there. You're the one mad. I ain't mad at them. You know. And if they just hadn't obeyed the king, nobody would have died that day. As it is, the only people that died were the people who were doing the execution. They got so close that that thing was so hot, it evaporated them. That's a miracle right there. Matter of fact, the story could have stopped right there. It would have been a success. You would have said, yeah, these boys had courage. Yeah, they had some consequences because they were facing the fire. But you know what? These guys burn up trying to carry out the command of an illegitimate authority. You brethren in the same decade as me, and just a decade below me, know one thing. In Vietnam, you were asked to do a lot of things that were unlawful. Don't do it. Didn't do it then. Ain't gonna do it now. Cause guess what? I got a gun. You got a gun. And if I think you're gonna shoot me, you're gonna get shot. And Nick, many of them did. Many of the deaths, people dying, they're not dead on the battlefield because of their valor. They're dead on the battlefield because they asked men to do something that was totally against their conscience. But these fools, they run up there, yeah, we'll go. Somehow we're going to survive. We just believe on Nebuchadnezzar. But it has some consequences because they're facing the fire now. Verse 23 says, notice one thing. They didn't escape the furnace. Some trials you're not going to escape. It's going to be God's way. It would have been good for them to say, whoop, they all evaporated. Oh, we fell back. Nah, they fell down into the furnace. You know why? Because God, the miracle, there is a miracle. But see, to me, it's a minor one. Because maybe the armed guard, they were pulling from this way and they got burnt up first. You know, maybe that's why they didn't get burnt up so far. They fell in that furnace because the power and the glory of God is going to be revealed if you'll just take a stand for that which is right. Remember, you're thinking that there's only a negative consequence, but there's something positive here. The power and the glory of God will be revealed in these three boys who simply said, I will not bow. And I'm not bowing because I don't like your music. You used to put more bass in there, maybe have a little guitar. They said, this is bowing, worshiping gods. A 90-foot statue. We won't do it. All right, let's see. Then Nebuchadnezzar did what?
Bound into the midst of the fire, they answered and said unto the king, true, O king,
just like the little naysayers. Can you imagine? I mean, this is like a Three Stooges movie here. Yes, sir. we sure did. The king says, but if you didn't have any other, if you hadn't got to the next verse, and you guys are well read and know it and all of that, wouldn't you just said, wait a minute, what's the king talking about? Did we not throw three? You're right, king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. I see them walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They ain't harmed at all. And the form of the four is like the Son of God. Conquered. Yeah, you got courage. There'll be consequence, but you'll conquer too, because we're more than conquerors. Here these three boys are thrown in the furnace, and they see one thing. Here is what we see, the benefit of this guy. There is someone in the fire with them. That's what you got to be able to remember always. No matter what you go through, Jesus is going to be right there with you. Listen to the testimony of these boys before this event. The king asked them, can you pray tell me why you would risk being thrown in the fire and burning up? Here's what their answer was. King, first of all, we believe now that if you throw us in that fire, we're going to survive it. And if we don't survive it, here's what they're saying. Here's what they're saying before Jesus even came. Because here's what you should be saying. I will not bow. I don't care if you throw me in the fire. You know, you can kill me, but you can't eat me. He says, Jesus the Christ was beaten just for me. Christ died for my sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died for me. I'm willing to die for what he died for. I'd rather be dead than living outside the word of God. Amen. Because if you're outside of the word of God, you're just dead man walking. Bottom line. And so this is what they said. They said, King, we don't think we'll be burned up. But if we do, it's all right. They had a conviction that many Christians don't have today. They knew what many Christians don't know, that if you just went to basic doctrine, you'd find out that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
They said, hey, it's all right. Soon, you know, King, if you put us in the fire, we're going to see a real king. We've been waiting on the king. We've been looking for the king. We don't think that we'll be burned up. And that's why we take this courageous stand. So King said, okay, at your pleasure. Serve them hot. Three hot ones coming at you. Throw them right on down in there. But the king says, didn't I see four? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He came close enough not to be consumed and still see. And here's what he said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. I ain't going in there after you.
Yeah, right.
But I tell you one thing. You truly must be servants of the Most High God. And just like y'all, most people, they get happy about that, you know, that he's the Most High God. You know what I got happy about? He called them servants. Is your witness to the world so strong that people say, you're really a servant?
Amen.
Here this man is being introduced to God. All before, this man served many gods. And we're going to see, he's going to get another shot at it. See, but this is your introduction. If you take a stand, this may be a witness to the world. God's going to be with you because he said he would be with you. And now you become a witness. That's why it's important for you to take stands, and you stand for what is right. But I told you, servant is what caught my imagination there. Because did they have to do it? Think about that while I give you this definition here. See, obedience is doing what someone asked you to do. That's obedience. Integrity is doing what you say you'll do. But servanthood is doing what needs to be done. They were servants because this needed to be done. The world needed to see. The world needed a testimony. Nebuchadnezzar needed someone to witness to him. And because they stood and did not bow, they were thrown into a furnace, and God had an opportunity to reveal who he is. Because out of the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, a spiritual miscreant, comes these words: truly, you serve the Most High God, and you are servants. Oh, that's awesome, folk. Yes, there will be consequences, but there will be conquest too. Because here these three boys, in their action not to bow, they're conquering the world. Terry, run over to Romans chapter 8. For me right quick, go to verse 37. And I'm telling you, they are conquering. He said, and the princes, the governors, and captains, and the king, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Wouldn't have had much work with me and Nick, but you know.
Yeah.
Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. How you going to go in a smoke? You can't even be in a smoky room without coming out smelling smoky.
Amen.
It was like they had never been there. Y'all get that impression? Man, y'all know, I mean, you grillers, you know, harden all you guys, you know, throw a little something on the grill, you know, every now and then, and you get a flame too high, it'll singe your eyebrows. You know, it'll run back. That heat something else. That little old grill heat. This is hellish heat here. But yet, their clothes didn't smell like smoke. Not one garment was burned. Not one eyebrow singed. Not one hair on the head singed. Not one turban still on their heads. Like they had never been there. The church went wild. It was a miracle. It's a miracle of God. What it was just the glory of God. See, because God's glory is not going to be tainted. And he used these boys to show them that if you would just go out there on the front line, my glory will be protected. My glory will be shown to the rest of the world. So in other words, instead of a negative consequence, It's a bountiful blessing. It's a blessing to know that we have the protection of God when we stand. There's a term, a lot of retirees may know it. There's a certain point in your career where you call yourself bulletproof. And when you're bulletproof, you can be quite dangerous. And that's why when people get to that point where they are bulletproof, they start putting them off to the side. Hoping that that don't cause no trouble. You know, just go through your process and checkout list, you know. don't. But the issue is, what do you do before you get bulletproof? See, because when you're bulletproof, there's nothing to risk, man. You got it made in the shade. All you got to do is wake up in the morning. As long as you wake up the first of every month, that's all. Those are the only days I worry about. First of the month. Will I wake up the first of the month? Lord, just let me wake up the first of the month. You know, Dorothy is asking you, let him breathe on the first. But what do you do before you get bulletproof? Are you willing to be courageous, accept the consequences, and see how you can have conquest? Read for me, start at 37. Just read, Terry. Y'all there? Let me just show you. Paul has already told us that we got it made, that we're bulletproof, no matter what. The world can't do anything to us, folks, because we win either way. We win either way. 830, just read 37, 38, 39, till my heart gets filled. And
no, in all things, we are more than conquerors.
We are more than conquerors in all things. Not just some things, but all things. That means everything. We are the conquerors. We, you know, and that's why people get them, I'm not the head, not the tail. You know why? Because you're the conqueror. But it's not you. It's not based on what your ability is, not what your resources are. It's what God's resource. It's because of whose you are that you are more than conqueror. Brother Terry?
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, to be able to separate us from the love of God.
How can anything separate? After reading that list, how can anything separate you from the love of God? You bulletproof and don't even know it. You bulletproof. Because there is nothing, whether you live or die now, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you win. Let me, because some of y'all still in the world. It's like holding a poker hand. You got four aces and a wild deuce. And you worried about winning. Nothing can separate you. And the key point there is because the world can hate you, but God loves you. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. God won't think any less of you if you lose your life doing what's right. He won't call you a fool. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because somebody saw that and said, you know what? They killed that man. They killed that woman. What did they do? I'm going to tell you, because that's what the centurion cried out at the cross.
Amen.
This man has done nothing, and yet he's dead. So a heart now is tenderized for the word of God. Your taking a stand will help somebody else see the kingdom. Because many believe that Nebuchadnezzar was converted. Not at this time. because someone was a witness. And see, the thing about it, when you got all power, it's kind of hard for some mere y'all coming up. You think I'm going to have Fred Reward come run up in my face? I got all the power, all the authority. I'm going to be listening to y'all. That's the problem. You got to show them where the power is. You got to show, and you always match power with power. Now, see, they say, Brother Sneed, now that sounds kind of radical. Well, the last time I checked, the moment you got saved, you got power. And as a matter of fact, the power that you have at the moment of conversion is dunamis. The same word we get our word dynamite from. God has then given you from your birth, from your second birth, he's given you power. And then Jesus comes along and says, yeah, you got that at the beginning, but also you not only have power, the gun, the stick of dynamite, but you got the badge behind the gun. See, because criminals got gun, but they don't have no exousia. They have no authority whatsoever. But you got authority and a gun. And so you're going to worry about it? Finally, one last verse there.
I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart.
I tell you the truth. I know that nothing can ever separate me from God. But guess what? I've got to show up. When times get tough, I'm the one that's got to show up. I'm the witness. I've been given this life to be a witness to the world. And some folks think that witness is just sitting down, turning around. You know, if you had to die today, you know, ask somebody the two diagnostic questions. Witness is living a life that is beyond compromise. That people can say, that they know. Let me tell you something, folks. I was in the workforce for 49 and a half years. Ain't nobody could ever tell you that, you know what? If this guy really believed in something, oh, we can change his mind. No. Not when it came to matters of personal integrity. Came by my integrity. I'm broke. Now, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? I remain broke. I mean, and I've been getting along all right. I don't look like I missed too many meals, do I? But you got to be able to stand. And you got to know that those words of Paul apply. That the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego apply. And that you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Because then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of what? Who hath what?
And delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words into their gods, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
What a confession. This is the king. You kind of like this fellow, don't you? This fellow just like you and me. And he sounds just like me and you. Because he said, I want to bless a God who was able to change me. You hear what he said? See, because your word is you. That should be you. Whatever you say, that should be it. Whatever the king said, bud, that was it. And you know what he said? Bless God who was able to change my word. Change my word, spared his people, and show that he really is God. And not we ourselves. Oh, it takes bold faith to do that. Understand, bold faith requires courage. Courage will get you in trouble. There'll be some consequences, but there will always be a conquest. God always has us on a winning team. We're not Miss Dupree, but we can't lose with the stuff we use.